had impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude. And put his fingers into his ears. And he spit. And touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed. And saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open. And a string of his tongue was loosed. And he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he had done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. We want to use for a subject this afternoon a double touch by the Master. A double touch by the Master. This word touch in this text is means to modify something. The word master is a person with the ability or the power to use or to control. Jesus Christ in this lesson certainly is the one that has the master's touch. He truly has the ability, if you will, the power to use, and he has the power to control that touch, which can alter a man's life. Therefore, this afternoon, we find that were those that bring this man to Jesus. Because if anybody can change a man's direction or change a man's outlook on life, it is the Son of the mighty God of heaven. They bring unto him one that is deaf and one that had an impediment in his speech. So from the letter of the text, it does not appear that this man is absolutely deprived of speech, but it literally signifies that one that cannot speak plainly, one that may have been tight-tongued, if you will. However, it is certain also that the word means a dumb person, and it's likely that the person in question was dumb because he was deaf. And it generally found that one who is totally deaf is many times totally dumb as well. The concluding words of the text today seem to confirm this to be our understanding. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. They have brought this poor man to Jesus, begged him that he would put his hand on him. And the prophet among those who were blessed in the name of the Lord. But when you look close at the text, it does not say to ask him to cure the man, but to put forth his hand upon him and put forth his power to touch him. You see, they already knew that the touch of Jesus was a life-altering touch. He didn't have to do any great thing, just touch the man who had an impediment of speech and that could not hear. They also knew, so as did the woman who had the issue of blood, you might remember, the power of the touch of Jesus. For the Bible said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may just touch his garment, I shall be whole. This woman trusted in the power of Jesus, no doubt saying, he does not have to lay his hands on me. All I got to do is get to where he is and touch the hem of his garment. Y'all say amen. You remember Jesus was on his way to the house of Jairus. He was on his way to heal his daughter. as this woman that had the issue of blood approach him out of a crowd of people. People all around Jesus. Many people there were thronging Jesus, trying to find out and get close to him. And Jesus said, Who touched me? The disciples said, if you allow me to paraphrase, Lord, you got all these folk around you. They're crushing us. They're pushing against us. And you ask the question, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me. For I perceive that the virtue has gone out of me. Am I right about it? The touch of the Savior can change your outlook on life. But in the text, his cure for this man was a serious one. One of some circumstances was in some ways singular because he did them all together. But Christ, the Bible says, took the man aside away from the multitude. And many times Jesus would do it right in front of everybody. But on this occasion, he pulled a man aside. And the Bible says he took his fingers and reached into the man's ear, seeming like to pull something out that was unstopping his ear. The Bible, they spit and put his hands on the tongue of the man and allowed him to be able to speak. And the Bible says that when his tongue was touched, he loosened his tongue. But the Bible says an important thing in this text. Jesus looked up toward heaven to give his father all the praise and give his father all the admonition, all the word, love, rather, for he had done. For he saw God's praise. He had did God's will. Who is it that we are trying to please today? Is it God or is it man? The apostle Paul said, for do I persuade men or do I persuade God? Or do I seek to please men? For yet if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ Jesus. Therefore, in this lesson, Jesus signifies that it is by divine power, a power that he had as the Lord had given him from heaven and brought with him to enable him to do this great work. For the ear that hears and eyes that see that the Lord hath made, he also hereby directed this man who could not, but who could see rather, though he could not hear, look up toward heaven. When we are blessed by God, do we look toward heaven? Do we remember where our blessings flow? Jesus will teach the man as well as those around him as us today, that we'll look toward heaven from where our help comes. It was David who said in Psalms 121 and verse number 1, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and which made all of the earth. I don't know about you today. I don't know about you this afternoon. I don't even know about you from yesterday. But I'm looking toward the Lord for all of my help. I want my help to come from the one that's able to give me my help. I want my help from the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. I want my help to come from him who has all the help that I need. I want my help to come from him who's here, who cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. Well, who owns all of the silver and the gold? That's my daddy. And if I need it, I know I can go to him to get it. I want my help. For he is the only help I know. I remember this morning in the Sunday school lesson. We were talking about this and that. But I want you to know, when you call on Jesus, when you call on the Lord, it don't matter what time of night it is. You can't be too early in the morning to call on Jesus. You see, I know we called each other, and sometimes we said, well, they must not be at home, or they must be out of town, or traveling somewhere. No, they ain't out of town. They just don't want to answer that phone. Y'all got time? I'm not telling you what somebody told me. I'm telling you what I know. You see, we have phones that they know who calling. They can look and see who's calling. I'm just talking about where I preach. I know they know I'm calling. Then I got to leave a message. Then wait a while, I think they're trying to find an excuse to give me when they do call back. Uh-huh. You see, I had to learn how to text. Because I know many of my members, they sleep with their phones. So sooner or later, they're going to get the message. That all right? Can't nobody help you like the Lord can. Your friends can't help you like the Lord can. Your daddy can't help you like the Lord can. Your mama can't help you like the Lord can. Your brother can't help you like the Lord can. Your sister can't help you like the Lord can. Yeah, they can go to the grave site with you, but God can go all the way with them. Am I right about it? My Lord that I know can make a way out of no way. All you got to do is trust in the power of God. When you're down, our Lord, our Savior, our God can lift you up. Am I right about it? It does not matter who you are. It does not matter where you are. As a matter of fact, it does not even matter what time it is. The Lord is able to lift you up. Am I right about it? You remember. I'm not going to be long. You remember Psalms 23. Whenever you are down, whenever it seems like something is holding you down, and you're not doing or going, things are not going well with you, I already remember what David said. When David said in Psalm 23, Lord is my shepherd. He took ownership. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my God. He said, and I shall not want. He made me lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still water. Even when trouble is in your life, God has a way of giving you peace. Am I right about it? He said, he restored my soul. Am I right about it? He lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, and though I walk through the valley, am I right about it, of shadow and death, David said, I will fear no evil. He said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Though thou prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies, even when folk don't like you, God still take care of you. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. Even when the folk be lying on you, and that young folk said, hating on you, the Lord even to take care of you when folk don't like you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Even when you're freak. And I tell them, I know my folks, why y'all at home eating that chicken and greens? They're saying, you don't talk about me about what I preach today. Uh-huh. But as long as you're talking about it, I know at least you were listening. Yeah, I tell them that because I have no better sense than to preach the truth of the gospel. Am I right about it? I tell them, if you don't worship, you can't go to heaven. Just have your name on a church roll book is not enough. You got to have your name on the book that's in heaven, where your name can be called from that book or from the Lamb's book of life. That's where I want my name. Not necessarily in some book down here, not some high school graduation book. I want my name written in the Lamb's book of life. Am I right about it? Because when on the day of judgment, I pray God that I'm on a first name basis with Jesus. When Jesus says, Carter, come on up. I'm going to step on that cloud and I'm going on back to heaven and I ain't looking back. I got to close. Listen. King David even experienced the power of God. David was the one who said, thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I don't know about you, but as David said, God has been a strong tower for him. But let me tell you, he has been one for me as well. When I thought, Brother Malone, that I was at the end of my rope, when I thought I didn't know which way to go, when I thought I was losing it all, God touched me and showed me a better way. Listen, church. God is just as powerful with his blessings now as he was back then. We need to trust in the mighty God of heaven. Am I right about it? Yes, sir. And yes, ma'am. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, understands the troubles that we go through. He understands the heartaches that we go through. He understands the difficulties of this life. And he also understands the suffering that we go through in this life. I know that it's true because the Bible has told me so. In Hebrews 4 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but with all points tempted, such like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need." Listen, that double touch of the Master, it is confirmed with the fact that God has blessed us to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and mouths to speak. When I hear the word of God, I've been touched by the Master. When I made my confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, my tongue has been loosed. When I give my obedience to the word of God, I've been blessed by the Master. I ain't been just blessed one time. I ain't been blessed two times. I've been blessed more times than I can count. I've been blessed so many times. This one day, I can't tell you all the blessings that God has given me. I woke up early this morning. I woke up with my right mind in the right body. I woke up feeling the blood running warm through my veins. I woke up able to see this morning. I woke up able to hear this morning. I was able to get up on my own feet and take care of my own self. Nobody had to brush my teeth. I was able to brush them by myself. I wish you could understand all the blessings that God has given to you. And we ought to thank God for all of these blessings, because you've been touched by the Master. As I close. There's a story that was told that there had been this great auction, and people have been coming up time after time for the auction. One island was in it, and all people, they noted, they waved their hand as they wanted to raise the price of whatever was being auctioned. But as the story goes, they came up with a violin, and the violin was there up for auction. And they played it a little bit, and it didn't sound so good. So, but the auctioneer said, "Who will start the bidding at $1,000? Nobody raised their hand. "Who will start the bidding at $950 then? Nobody raised their hand. So he went on down to $500. "Who will start the bidding then at $500? Nobody will raise their hand. So the auctioneer stood there. Some old gentleman that was sitting way at the back walked slowly up to the front of the building. He took down the violin. He took it and turned a knob here and a knob there and tested it. And then he began to play the violin. Played a beautiful song of music on the violin. Gave it back to the auctioneer. The auctioneer began the bidding all over again. He said, who will begin the bidding at $5,000? Who will start at $5,000? Somebody from the audience, yeah, what do you mean 5,000. You were trying to get us to take it for 500. He said, yeah, that was before, but now that the master has touched it, it went more than it started out. You see, in your life that you are living, you might be one kind of individual, but when Jesus has touched your life, it went more now than it did then. So how about you? How about you today? How about you? How about you? Has the Lord touched you? Have you allowed the master to change your life? Because once you give your life to him, it will never be the same. You will find joy even in sadness. You will find pleasure even in a hard time. You will find strength in a storm. You will find direction in the middle of a sea. But you got to give your life to Jesus. How about letting the master touch you this afternoon? Don't you want to be touched by the master? We weigh more than silver and gold. Am I right about it? See, it's good to be touched by the master because he has the ability to shape you and to mold you to be the Christian that he wants you to be. Yeah, I love God. I love how he has shaped and changed my life. Is that all right? I'm not being selfish, Brother Brand, but when I was in the emergency room about a month ago, all I could think about was I ever going to be able to stand and preach again. Now, y'all might not mean that much to y'all, but it means everything to me. I just want to be able to preach. Matter of fact, they're going to call me and say, bro, why would you come preach? We ain't got no money. I would have came right on. Because, you see, I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't understand what joy it is to take somebody who is lost and allow them to be found by the word of God. Be saved on that last day. So maybe, just maybe, you're here today and you've been wondering where you ought to be. What church you ought to be a member of. Well, I'm here to tell you now, there ain't but one. I got a slogan on my truck and said, what about one that you don't understand? Oh, he brought some conversations on, even in the Christmas line. Ladies, what that sign mean? Bag up so I can read it. Again, we start talking, but I got the line here. We start talking about what one means. Jesus came from one heaven to one earth, to be nailed to one cross, to be buried in one grave, to get up one Sunday morning, to be at one church. Am I right about it? Be one church. He didn't come to build 3,000. Yeah. He came, but to build just one. Yes, sir. I got to close. Somebody said your landing gear got stuck. You don't know how to land the plane. Don't you want to be touched by the master? One day the trumpet is going to sound, and time shall be no more. And I'm ready to go home with Jesus. Is that all right? I'm ready to go home with Jesus. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? We know you sing a song. Don't you want to go to that lane? Don't you want to? Oh, I want to go so bad. I want to go so bad. I want to go to heaven. I want all of you to go with me. Although if I go before you, I ain't looking back. I want all y'all to be following me. Let me go on up to heaven. If you're here, willing to put on Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You come out hearing the word of God. Once you have heard the truth that Jesus Christ came from heaven, born of the Virgin Mary, went about doing good, suffered, bled, and died on the cross, was buried and rose that third day. You've heard that today. Do you believe that Jesus Christ has did these things? Then you must repent of your sins. Just stop doing wrong and turn and doing what's right. Right about it. Stop dodging God and give your life to him. Then one must, after you repent, one must confess the sweetest name that has been ever uttered upon a mortal tongue. That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Because you'll be asking the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And you would ask that question, yes, I do. You'll be asking a second question, therefore, then. Are you willing to put him on today in water baptism and have your sins washed away? Well, after you have done this, you come out of that water, a new creature. All things, old things, will have passed away, and all things
never come near. You'll be a Christian, a member of the body of Christ. Then you can therefore be as a eunuch. You can go on your way rejoicing. And that day is one of us today. The devil wants us back too. Once God gets you, Jesus gets you, he wants you back. Am I right about it? He's like that no good boyfriend you had. You got rid of him, but he wants you back. He didn't understand what he had.
Yeah.
He wants you back, but the devil wants you back.
Yeah.
He could do everything he can to get you back. Yeah. I was talking to my mother not long ago. I know I got to land this plane. She was around 87, I think, then at the time. I said, Mom, why is it that people, a member of the church, just refuse to come to worship like they should? My mom thought for a minute, and my mom has dementia. My mom thought for a minute. She said, baby, I believe that they just don't want to put on no clothes. And I kind of pondered with that, Brother Blanchfield. Well, I said, I wonder what she meant. They always tell you something you got to figure out. I said, Mom, what you mean by that? She said, they just lazy. They don't want to get up and go serve the Lord as good as he has been to them. They don't want to get up. They're too lazy. Listen, nobody lazy going to heaven. When Jesus chose the 12 disciples, all of them were working.
All right.
Well, nobody laying on a shade tree doing nothing.
Well.
All of them were working. So you're going to heaven. We must be about our Father's business.
Yes.
So if you are here, you heard the word, you believe it, you repent of your sins, you confess Christ, you will be baptized in water. That your sins washed away. It is my prayer that you come right now. We all together stand and sing the song that we've chosen for the invitation. Say, hey, hey, whoa, to my, I'm, oh, I.